So just a warning that this talk contains pork. In 2003, a group of engineers went to people's houses to retune their TVs to receive the Freeview signal. One engineer went to a house and found a pork sausage stuck in the back of one of the TVs. The owner explained that he could only get reception when he stuck his finger in the back of the TV, and because he wanted to be able to watch the TV, he replaced his finger with a pork sausage. It's pork-free from now on. There's a great logic to the story. If something works once, surely it will work again. Well, meditation hasn't been like this for me. It has never been a simple pork sausage. I've always had to adapt. For some reason, I can't just keep doing the same thing. So meditation means to me variety. I can't give you a talk on meditation without showing you my stool. So this is my stool. So me and this stool have been through quite a lot, and this stool was made by my first meditation teacher, Jnana Mitra. So it was made over 20 years ago. It's been with me, or it's been beneath me in some way ever since. So meditation, what meditation means to me has to have something to do with this stool. I feel I owe it a great deal. I think it's put up with quite a lot. So I guess meditation also means something about fidelity. I first learned to meditate 21 years ago at the age of 21. So I'm 42. I'm going to write here, pause for gasps. But, that was probably unrealistic. Yes, thank you. That was worth the pause. And when I first came to meditation classes, I learned two things about meditation. So the first thing I learned about meditation was that meditation made me tired. And the second thing I learned about meditation was that meditation made me angry. So people used to say that being in the Buddhist centre was like coming home. But I actually used to look forward to going home. I mean, meditation was hard. It seemed to make me feel worse. And to cap it all, I was surrounded by middle-aged people I couldn't relate to. Probably people who are the same age as me now, I expect. And yet, for some reason, I kept coming along. I kept coming partly because I learnt two more things which made me call into question the first two things that I'd learnt. So the first thing that I learnt the second time was that meditation made me realise what was going on in my mind. And the second thing I learnt was that I could do something about that. Now this was a revelation, yeah? So I just got used to the idea that you got up in the morning, you know, you felt a certain way, things basically just happened to you, and then at some point you went to bed again. It all just seemed a bit random and out of control. Now, partly because there were so many middle-aged people there, I used to go to the tea break. During the tea break, I used to go to the bookshop and take refuge there. And one time I came across... you've probably seen it, there's a white leaflet. There's a seminar of Sangharakshita's called Mind Reactive and Creative. I really like the design on the front of the leaflet. It's very simple. It's basically, it's the word it's the word reactive showing the C having moved from the middle of the word, the beginning of the word. Yeah? Mm. There's a red arrow. I know simple things in simple minds, but I do... I really like that bit of design. It just says everything that I needed to know at the time, I think. That the reactive mind can become the creative mind. So I've kind of called this talk Moving the Sea. So as I kept up meditation practices, I started to realise that I had a problem. I wasn't the same person that I thought I was. I was actually starting to become someone else. In some magical and mysterious way, we change. It's not just that we get a bit of a buff and a polish. We actually become someone else. I can honestly say that I've come to the conclusion that on a certain level, I don't actually know who I am. My idea about myself seems to always be out of date. If your idea of yourself is so regularly being contradicted by the evidence of who you actually are, then how can you say you know who you are? So I like doing this little thought experiment, so if you'd like to participate in this, you can. You might want to close your eyes, but you can keep them open if you prefer. So I'd like you to think back 5 years. So try to picture yourself or imagine yourself from 5 years ago. Try and be as vivid as you can. It might be your appearance, it might be you're in a particular place. Maybe even you can have some kind of felt sense of yourself. 5 years ago, 2013, 2012. Okay, so having that some sense, if you can have some sense of yourself 5 years ago, could you have thought back then how you would be now? Just ask yourself that question. Even if you could have predicted some of the circumstances of your life, could you honestly have known how you would think and feel now? You can try, if you like, to change the time scale. You can think in terms of just a year ago. So you last year. Did you last year have any conception of you now? Could you have predicted how you would be now? You can try 6 months. Okay, now try thinking to the future. So what about 5 years from now? Can you have any idea how or even who you will be then? And again, if you like, you can replace 5 years with 1 year. Six months. Next week. Okay, and then you can open your eyes. Okay, I won't ask you to report back on that, but I hope the point is made. So we're changed through practice, and this shakes up the view of the person we thought we were. From the point of view of a fixed sense of self, this is a disaster. As Reginald Ray puts it, meditation ruined his life. In the sense that the process of becoming means moving towards the new, but it also means leaving behind the old and therefore the familiar. So meditation reveals that we are never quite who we think we are, and that we are often much better than we think we are too. The positive sense of myself changing has come about as part of a process of integration. To integrate, to bring together and to be whole, means realising that we have other stories about ourselves that are different to who we actually are. So I just wanted to relate a story to you now. It's actually not a meditation story as such, but it certainly explains or reveals this sense of disconnect between the story that we have and the person that we are. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I was asked if I would lead a Mitra study group and for Tejasiddhi to support me in that group. So I met up with Tejasiddhi and we went for a walk, and to cut a long story short, I basically explained to him that this is me, I'm a particular sort of person, and you know, how on earth was I supposed to be leading Mitra study? I went into some detail, I won't go into the detail now of what I told him, but it wasn't particularly complimentary, put it that way. And he listened, he's a good listener, Tejasiddhi, and he seemed to think about it. And then after a little while he said to me, I don't think I've ever actually met that person. Which was a great thing to say, actually. And then I started to realise that I hadn't either. Okay, so meditation for me is also about energy. So you may not realise this, but I'm something of a mover and a shaker. I don't mean this as in the dictionary definition, a powerful person who initiates events and influences people. I mean this in a very literal, physical way. When I meditate, I tend to move and shake. It seems to be associated with some sort of release, some sort of freedom of psychic movement. It gives me a strong physical sense of the self as being something like energy. This energetic movement has been happening almost as long as I've been a meditator. In that time, energy has manifested sometimes in subtle ways, sometimes in not so subtle ways, sometimes quite dramatic ways. And I've been lucky enough to have the support of meditation teachers like Tejananda, and particularly recently Vasantra, who have been able to give some context for this energetic process and shown it to be integral to the benefits of meditation. I was watching Little Women recently on iPlayer, and I found myself starting to cry. And I noticed that I tend to cry when I see a selfless act. I'm really moved by it. It's clearly something that inspires me. There's some great integrity in moving outside of the self. Gradually I can see how meditation practice is leading me to a larger sense of myself. And yet it is paradoxically no longer about self-improvement. Meditation has shown me that it is by trying to protect the self that I feel most at risk. And that, moving beyond that self and learning to be more selfless, is the way to greater happiness and liberation.